Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, have we just had a major breakthrough in quantum computing? The earthquake in Taiwan might lead to some chip issues. We don't quite know yet. Amazon is retooling its Just Walk Out technology. Venture capitalists are having a hard time raising money. And in the last segment of the show, I actually break some news about Coinbase. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. Potentially historical news that is not AI related. Microsoft and Quantinuum this morning detailed a breakthrough in quantum error correction, helping run more than 14,000 experiments with no errors, an issue that has long been a problem for quantum computing. Quoting TechCrunch, using Quantinuum's Ion Trap hardware and Microsoft's new qubit virtualization system, the team was able to run more than 14,000 experiments without a single error. This new system also allowed the team to check the logical qubits and correct any errors it encountered without destroying the logical qubits. This, the two companies say, has now moved the state-of-the-art of quantum computing out of what has typically been dubbed the era of noisy intermediate-scale quantum NISQ computers. Noisy, because even the smallest changes in the environment can lead a quantum system to essentially become random or decohere, and intermediate scale, because the current generation of quantum computers is still limited to just over 1,000 qubits at best. A qubit is the fundamental unit of computing in quantum systems, analogous to a bit in a classic computer, but each qubit can be in multiple states at the same time and doesn't fall into a specific position until measured, which underlies the potential of quantum to deliver a huge leap in computing power. It doesn't matter how many qubits you have, though, if you barely have time to run a basic algorithm before the system becomes too noisy to get a useful result or any result at all. Combining several different techniques, the team was able to run thousands of experiments with virtually no errors. That involved quite a bit of preparation and pre-selecting systems that already looked to be in good shape for a successful run, but still, that's a massive improvement from where the industry was just a short while ago. It's a step in the right direction for quantum computing. There are still plenty of problems to be solved, and these results need to be replicated too, of course, but theoretically, a computer with 100 of these logical qubits could already be useful for solving some problems. The team used Quantinuum's H2 trapped ion processor and was able to combine 30 physical qubits into four highly reliable logical qubits. Encoding multiple physical qubits into a single logical qubit helps protect the system from errors. The physical qubits are entangled together so that it becomes possible to detect an error in a physical qubit and fix it. This could, Microsoft says, unlock commercial advantage. It's this error correction that has long vexed the industry. The lower the noise and the higher the quality of the physical qubits, the better, of course. But without sophisticated error correction, there is no way out of the NISQ era because these systems will all decohere sooner than later, end quote. This is AI related. Stability AI has released Stable Audio 2.0, letting users create 3-minute sound clips from copyright-free audio samples available for free via their website, quoting The Verge. The first version of Stable Audio was released in September 2023 and only offered up to 90 seconds for some paying users, which meant they could only make short sound clips to experiment with. Stable Audio 2.0 offers a full 3-minute sound clip, the length of most radio-friendly songs. All uploaded audio must be copyright-free. Unlike OpenAI's audio generation model, Voice Engine, which is only available to a select group of users, Stability AI made Stable Audio free and publicly available through its website and, soon, its API. One big difference between Stable Audio 2.0 and its earlier iteration is the ability to create songs that sound like songs, complete with an intro, progression, and an outro, says Stability AI. Stability AI said in a press release that Stable Audio is trained on data from Audio Sparks, which has a library of more than 800,000 audio files. Stability AI maintains that artists under Audio Sparks were allowed to opt out of their material being used to train the model. Training on copyrighted audio was one of the reasons Stability AI's former vice president for audio, Ed Newton Rex, left the company shortly after the launch of Stable Audio. For this version, Stability AI says it partnered with Audible Magic to use its content recognition technology to track and block copyrighted material from entering the platform, end quote. Shot and then Chaser. Billie Eilish, Katy Perry, and more than 200 other artists have signed a letter to AI developers and tech firms decrying what they call predatory AI that steals voices, replaces artists, and more, quoting Axios. Unlike other advocacy efforts from creators around AI, this letter specifically addresses tech firms about the concerns of musical artists, such as replicating artists' voices, using their work to train AI models without compensation, and diluting royalty pools that are paid out to artists. Jen Jacobson, executive director at the Artists' Rights Alliance, ARA, the trade group representing the artists signing the letter, told Axios, "We're not thinking about legislation here. We're kind of calling on our technology and digital partners to work with us to make this a responsible marketplace and to keep the quality of the music sound and not to replace human artists," end quote. The letter, penned by dozens of well-known musicians within ARA, specifically calls on tech firms and AI developers to stop the, quote, predatory use of AI to steal professional artists' voices and likenesses, violate creators' rights, and destroy the music ecosystem, end quote. Signatories include Elvis Costello, Norah Jones, Nicki Minaj, Camila Cabello, Kacey Musgraves, John Batiste, Ja Rule, Jason Isbell, Pearl Jam, Sam Smith, and dozens more spanning every musical genre. "We call on all AI developers, technology companies, platforms, and digital music services to pledge that they will not develop or deploy AI music generation technology, content, or tools that undermine or replace the human artistry of songwriters and artists or deny us fair compensation for our work," the letter reads, end quote. TSMC has halted some chip making and evacuated some plants after that 7.4 magnitude earthquake in Taiwan, the biggest in that country in 25 years. They also plan to assess the impact of the earthquake on their operations going forward. UMC made similar moves, quoting Bloomberg. Taiwanese firms from TSMC to ASE Technology make and assemble the vast majority of the semiconductors that go into devices from iPhones to cars, from factories vulnerable to even the slightest tremors. A single vibration can destroy entire batches of the precision-made semiconductors. The island's tech firms are still assessing impact from the earthquake, which leveled dozens of buildings on its eastern side and killed at least four people. On Wednesday, TSMC said staff were beginning to return to evacuated sites, though it stressed it was examining impact. Still, any halt in production threatens to upset a process that, especially for sophisticated semiconductors, can require uninterrupted seclusion in a vacuum for weeks on end, Barclays analyst wrote. Some of the high-end chips need 24/7 seamless operations in a vacuum state for a few weeks, analysts Bum Ki Son and Brian Tan said. Operation halts in Taiwan's northern industrial areas could mean some high-end chips in production may be spoiled, end quote. Taiwan is prone to quakes because it's near the convergence of two tectonic plates, yet it's also the source of an estimated 80 to 90% of the highest-end chips required for advanced applications such as smartphones and AI. Industry executives and government officials have long called out the dangers of centering the world's advanced semiconductor production on an island that, apart from natural shocks, is considered a potential military flashpoint. That became particularly evident during the COVID era, which exacerbated a global shortage of the vital components, end quote. Yes, and I want to stress here, I'm not mitigating the situation by talking about this end of things. Any loss of life or property is tragic. I want to acknowledge that. But the reasons everyone wants to diversify chip production globally are not just geopolitical, they're also just geo. Probably not a good idea to have 90% of the production of a key component of the global supply chain in one place where a single hurricane, or in this case, earthquake, could take everything out. When I took the kids to the New York Auto Show this weekend, I got to use Amazon Just Walk Out technology for the first time. Well, I guess I got that in under the wire, because Amazon apparently plans to remove Just Walk Out from most of its grocery stores and add more grocery stores with dash carts, which instead let shoppers scan items while they shop, quoting the information. Amazon's pullback on deploying Just Walk Out underscores how the company is still fine-tuning its broader grocery strategy. It also shows the limitations of using Just Walk Out, which relies on cameras and sensors to track what people leave the store with in larger format stores. Amazon had previously tried to pitch big box retailers like Woolworths on the technology and even weighed opening its own big box stores equipped with Just Walk Out, the information has reported. Originally, Amazon envisioned using the Just Walk Out system to provide a fresh twist on grocery shopping that could speed checkouts, and it currently has the technology installed in 47 of its 64 fresh stores across the US and UK. But Tony Hoggett, Amazon's grocery chief and a three-decade veteran of British retail giant Tesco, who joined Amazon in 2022, said Just Walk Out makes sense in smaller shops where customers are purchasing a few items, but isn't ideal for larger grocery stores like Fresh. With Just Walk Out, Amazon emails receipts to customers after they leave the store, a process that can take minutes or hours, potentially making budget-conscious shoppers uneasy. With Dash Carts, by contrast, customers scan items as they shop and see their spending added up on a screen in real time. That can appeal to grocery shoppers, Hoggett said, giving the example of a family that wants to make sure it's getting the most out of a $130 weekly grocery budget. Another likely factor is that Just Walk Out can be expensive to install and has relied on humans to double-check transactions, a process that is particularly complicated in larger stores and with loose items, certain kinds of produce. In 2022, Amazon moved the team behind Just Walk Out from Hoggett's organization to Amazon Web Services, which has gained traction with selling the technology to smaller retailers like convenience stores in airports and concession stands in arenas, like the one I used at the New York Auto Show. Amazon has already overhauled a handful of its Fresh stores in California and Illinois into version 2 stores, which also feature brighter colors and Krispy Kreme donut and coffee stands, among other changes, Hoggett said. While some of the remodeled stores never had Just Walk Out in the first place, Amazon has removed the system from at least one store in Pasadena, a spokesperson confirmed. The spokesperson added that Amazon plans to keep Just Walk Out in smaller format Fresh stores in the UK. The technology also still features in Amazon's 22 Go convenience stores, though the company closed 9 of those stores last year, end quote. Let's be real for a minute. Most guys would wear a t-shirt every day of their lives if they could. The problem is that most t-shirts are not acceptable to wear at work or out on a hot date night. But today's sponsor, Cuts, has finally changed that. Cuts t-shirts are such high quality, wrinkle-free, and so buttery soft that you can look like you're dressing up even when you're dressing down. Yeah, you heard that. Wrinkle-free. You never have to substitute comfort for fashion ever again. If you see me in a t-shirt, it's likely one from Cuts. I'm also a huge fan of their AO five-pocket pants, the right sort of step up from jeans without going all the way into dress pants, like literally my ideal Venn diagram of professional looking but comfortable feeling. When you touch something from Cuts, you can immediately feel the quality. Their proprietary fabric blends are ridiculously soft and breathable, they don't wrinkle, and they look way more expensive than they actually are. For a limited time, our listeners get 20% off your entire order when you use code RIDE at checkout. That's 20% off your order at cutsclothing.com with promo code RIDE. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the perfect blend of style and comfort with Cuts Clothing. cutsclothing.com, promo code RIDE for 20% off. Whenever I need to do financial research for this show, for instance, during tech earnings season when I have to analyze how various companies' stocks have been performing, I only ever turn to our sponsor today, Yahoo Finance. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They are the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. Securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, their real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Some VC industry news for you. According to PitchBook and NVCA, U.S. venture capital investments in Q1 of this year hit $36.6 billion, the lowest since 2017. That comes across 2,882 deals and is down from $51.6 billion across 4,026 deals in Q1 of last year. So the investing recession continues in tech. It's not just that IPOs are scarce, it's that private investment money has not yet bounced back either. Could a reason for that be that VCs themselves are having a hard time raising money for themselves? PitchBook also says that VCs raised $30.4 billion globally in Q1 of 2024, a marked slowdown from 2023, which itself was the worst year since 2016, suggesting the era of so-called mega funds is over. As ever, I like to share stuff like this with you, not as inside baseball, but so that you founders out there know to what degree it is or is not relatively easy to raise money for your startups. And if VCs themselves are having a hard time raising money, then the knock-on effects could be real. Quoting the Financial Times, investors in venture funds known as limited partners have reined in spending over the past 2 years, taking a more cautious approach as interest rates have risen. Startup exits, including public listings and sales, have slowed, and returns from venture fund managers have cratered. Why has there been such a sustained slowdown? At the core of the issue is exits, said Kaidi Gao, a venture capital analyst at PitchBook. A resurgence in initial public offerings or sales would allow LPs to recoup their invested capital and recycle it. Unless we see meaningful improvements in the exit market, we're expecting fundraising difficulties to linger, and that will put downward pressure on deal-making, Gao said. Fundraising activity has slowed sharply since 2021, when VCs hauled in $555 billion. Last year, they raised a third of that total, and activity has continued to slow, putting venture investors on course for their worst fundraising year since 2015. In the U.S., just $9.3 billion in capital was raised in the first 3 months of this year, roughly a tenth of the total raised in 2023. We want to be there for our partners, but we don't want to put ourselves in a hole, said the chief investment officer at one big U.S. foundation. He pointed out that he and other LPs had written ever larger checks as the market boomed, but are yet to see a return because exit activity has stalled. It's tough maths for a lot of investors, end quote. The sluggish pace of fundraising is an ominous sign for startups who rely on VC investments to grow in their earliest stages. It continues a sharp reversal in VC firms' fortune since 2021, when they spent a record $747.5 billion, according to PitchBook. The splurge was made possible in large part by the advent of mega funds, vehicles of $5 to $10 billion that created a period of unprecedented abundance for startups. That era is now over, according to PitchBook. Fundraising data for the first quarter, quote, shows there may be no appetite for such vehicles in today's market, end quote. And finally today, as promised, I have some news for you, in the sense that I can actually break some news instead of reading you other people's reporting on breaking news. Lightspark is a crypto startup founded by David Marcus, who you might remember as the guy who did that whole Libra Diem project at Meta when Meta briefly flirted with making their own currency. Well, Lightspark this morning announced that Coinbase selected them to bring the Bitcoin Lightning Network to the Bitcoin platform. What does that mean exactly? Well, here is David Marcus himself to tell you.
Thanks for having me. Our news today is that Coinbase is going to implement Lightning using Lightspark stack, and that will mean faster, cheaper transactions on the Bitcoin network for all Coinbase users very soon.
So let's assume that half of the audience maybe isn't very deep into crypto. Can you explain what the Lightning Network is for those that might be unfamiliar?
Sure. So Lightning is actually a layer two payments protocol on top of Bitcoin that enables Bitcoin to move in real time at a fraction of the cost of layer one. So as you probably know, layer one Bitcoin is actually pretty slow. It's very secure, but slow. One new block every 10 minutes, which means that your transaction will take about 10 minutes to clear on layer one. Lightning makes it instantaneous, real time, low cost. And so when you want to deposit or withdraw Bitcoin from Coinbase, now you'll be able to do it in real time at a much lower cost from any other wallet or any other exchange or any other institution that supports Lightning, which is almost everyone now.
Okay, so explain that in greater detail, and then we can come back to Lightning and Lightspark and the technology. If I'm a Coinbase user, what am I going to see? What is the immediate benefit of this to me?
So if you're a Coinbase user and you want to move the Bitcoin that you just purchased on Coinbase to another wallet, we've all had this experience, or many of us have had this experience, where you have to copy and paste an address, a layer one address, and send a transaction. And then for about 10 minutes, you wait patiently with a lot of angst for your Bitcoin to arrive to the other side. never really knowing whether it's actually going to happen or not. And, you know, despite the fact that you know it will likely happen, it's always a stress generating. And now you'll be able to do the same, but just with a Lightning address. And when you do that, you paste a Lightning invoice, that's the term, into your interface, then your Bitcoin will appear on your other wallet or other exchange or other institution. Basically, less than a second after you click the send button.
So obviously, that's just a clip from a bonus episode interview Chris and I recorded with David. Link to the YouTube of that interview is the final link in today's show notes. And also, of course, it will be a bonus episode on the podcast feed this weekend. Hey, PR people out there, as you can hear, I've been leaning more into interviewing actual newsmakers this year, and that includes breaking news. If you have something newsworthy to announce, sure, brief TechCrunch, brief The Verge, but also consider coming here to break the news in your own words. I can clip it and include it on a daily show. If it's newsworthy enough, just have your founder or CEO jump on a Zoom with me. We don't even have to do a full bonus episode interview. Just pop on for 3 minutes, share the news, and I can include it as a segment on the daily show. Open invitation, Brian@techmeme.com if interested. Talk to you tomorrow.